Are you cold, forlorn, and hungry? Are there lots of things you lack? Is your life made up of misery? Then dump the bosses off your back. Are your clothes all torn and tattered? Are you living in a shack? Would you have your troubles scattered? Then dump the bosses off your back.
Please have barricaded off Franklin Bell Plaza. There's about 1,000 people just standing outside. Street shut down.
Give yourself a pat on the back. Way to go, gentlemen. Way to go. Sleep well tonight. You accomplished something.
We continue tonight our coverage of the Occupy Wall Street protest. In September, a small group of activists started camping out in Zuccotti Park. They claimed to draw their inspiration from the Arab Spring. Since then, protests have spread to other major cities in the United States and around the world. So far, protesters have declined to be specific about their demand. For some, the issue at hand is corporate greed. For others, it is changing the democratic process itself. Questions remain about whether the movement can maintain momentum and about what comes next.
With America wallowing in a second Gilded Age, market chaos continuing, and centrists becoming rightist, it was only a matter of time before then meets now. At long last, Occupy Wall Street has found their spokesperson.
We need to correct by drastic means, if necessary, the faults in our economic system from which we now suffer. We need the courage of the young.
A lot of these guys miss the 60s, and they love the, you know, the grow their hair and let their freak flags fly.
These economic royalists complain that we seek to overthrow the institutions of America. What they really complain of is that we seek to take away their power. Our allegiance to American institutions requires the overthrow of this kind of power.
I, for one, am increasingly concerned about the growing mobs occupying Wall Street and the other cities across the country.
Liberty of a democracy is not safe if the people tolerate the growth of private power to a point where it becomes stronger than their democratic state itself. That, in its essence, is fascism.
I think it's dangerous, this class warfare.
Among us today, a concentration of private power without equal in history is growing.
And so the eloquent, if somewhat long-winded, spokesperson of Occupy Wall Street went on to win not two, not three, but four consecutive presidential terms. But that was then, and this is now.
It's just your basic green, anti-capitalist, anti-bank, anti-Wall Street, anti-America demonstration.
If you're anti-capitalism, you kind of are anti-American, aren't you?
Oh, there's guys that like to break windows. There's guys that like to just go down.
I feel your pain. I understand where you're coming from, but go get a job. Yeah, I think they need to go get a job. I think that there are people who are...
The eloquence of the young people and old who are there, who are saying this is a defining moment. I think of one young man, an African-American soldier just back from Iraq. He said he served in Iraq from 2008 to 2010. And now he's serving his country by camping out at Occupy Louisville. We are seeing something like we haven't seen before except, what, decades ago with the civil rights movement, the anti-war movement, and it's something that's in formation. I don't think it can be predicted where it will go, but it is hot right now.
Could it be, in your judgment, a new American revolution?
Oh, I think it is happening as we speak. It is not just about what will it achieve. These general assemblies that are being held every day in these Occupy Everywheres, you know, whether we're talking about Austin or Boston or San Francisco, or whether we're talking about Louisville or New York, where people work by consensus, they consider issues, they decide what to do next, it's already changed so many people, given so many people hope. When they don't have jobs, when they see the educational system going down, and when they see their leaders leading us in the wrong direction.
If you look historically at what happens with social change movements in the United States, they do become politically co-opted, and usually they become co-opted by the Democratic Party. because the Republican Party has historically been the pro-business party. Democratic administrations tend to run on agendas of change. But once these politicians are elected to office, they tend to be, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, responsive to the interests that got them there, whether they're Barack Obama or Democratic or Republican legislators.
It's time to end welfare as we know it and get those greedy chiselers off the dole. It's time to end welfare as we know it. Teach them a little self-control. For far too long we've allowed these corporate hogs to belly up to the public trough. No more welfare as we know it. No more handouts, cut them off. Now we should all be irate at this huge welfare state, right here in this mightiest of nations. AFDC is disgraceful to me. I'm talking aid for dependent corporations. Free enterprise, ha, the cruelest of lies. It cost us $200 billion just last year. If they paid their fair share, we'd have billions to spare. It's time to tell them the buck stops here.
We'll believe corporations are people when Texas executes one.
You know, the U.S. ruling class has a wonderful ideal system for itself. They have two corporate parties. One is the Republican Party that is most brazen about defending corporate interests. The other one is the Democratic Party, which has the same corporate backers, or oftentimes the same corporate backers, and sometimes different corporate backers than the Republicans. But when Plan A isn't working out, they just usher in Plan B.
There's polls out, 54-23, Time Magazine poll, saying that people are in favor of the Occupy Wall Street movement. That's a over 2-to-1 margin, right? So the politicians have woken up. Oh my God, everybody's in favor of this. Let's rush in to support it. But they got a big problem because they're all funded by big donors, right? So how are they going to resolve that problem? Well, Politico has a good story on it from Robin Bravender and Anna Palmer, and they've got great quotes. So financial service lobbyists have now gone to the Democrats, and let me give you quotes. One of them says, quote, they were livid, meaning that his clients, the bankers, are livid with the Democrats. How dare you ever support Occupy Wall Street? Because the DCCC actually sent out a note saying, hey, you should do fundraising for Occupy Wall Street. And the banker's like, don't you know who you work for? Here's another quote from a lobbyist. What are you doing? Do you even understand some of the things that they've called for? He's saying, do you understand that they've called for us to stop getting funded by you? How dare you? Absolutely not. I love how pissed these lobbyists are for the financial industry. They're pissed that we've caught on to their game, right? So one of them gives good advice to the Democrats. He says, you got to find a line here. He says, quote, you can't have it both ways. It just makes it harder for people who are Democrats in New York, Boston, Chicago, to on the one hand be demagogued and then be asked, hey, you can get your picture with the president for $30,000. It doesn't square. Now, that's right. What he's saying is, hey, those donors in New York, Chicago, and Boston don't want to be demonized and then turn around and ask for money. Look, he's right about that. The problem is the Democrats are hooked on that money. They're hooked on that corruption.
So in terms of social movements, what this means is that the Democrats have managed to absorb social movements historically. They're the lesser of two evils. I mean, that's the basis on which they function, as, you know, they're slightly better than the other corporate party.
The fact is that the lesser of the so-called, I should say this, so-called lesser of the evil is still evil. That's like saying, would you like to die by hanging or by execution? Our response should be, I choose not to die at all. The word liberal, as far as I'm concerned, is like Brother Malcolm said, you had your foxes and your wolves. And the liberals are the foxes. And in this case, the so-called conservatives or the Republicans are the wolves. But they both want to devour you. They both want to devour you, to eat you, to disenfranchise you. That's what it's all about.
The scourge of crony capitalism has been revealed by Solyndra Gate Apocalypse. 535 million taxpayer dollars gambled on the false promise of green technology. Technology that's as fanciful as the notion of getting energy from the sun. What kind of impractical dreamers would even try something so absurd? The right way, the American way, is not to rely on loan guarantees for new technology, but to rely on an industry that knows how to get things done, that successfully gets $41 billion every year in taxpayer subsidies, while posting record profits at the same time. That's innovation. An industry that spends nearly $200 million on lobbying and has given $11 million to key members of Congress overseeing energy and commerce. Oil, gas, and coal are so successful, they receive $72 billion in subsidies. So let's not risk wasting their valuable taxpayer dollars on unproven solar ventures. Clearly, now is the time to blot out the sun and prevent any more green tech boondoggles. Because America can't afford to be that bright.
Look, we know what's happening. Totalitarian suppression of the truth. Not only on television, but they've got the papers too. We are under martial law.
They must think that we're a threat. There's just no way we're going to stop them. There are too many of them.
No. There has to be a way.
There is. Well, we organize. We organize.
There is a war going on for your mind. Media mavens mount surgical strikes from trapper keeper collages and online magazine racks. Cover girl cutouts throw up pop-up ads infecting victims with silicone shrapnel. Worldwide passenger pigeons deployed paratroopers. Now it's raining pornography. Lovers take shelter. Post-production debutantes pursue you in NASCAR chariots. They construct ransom letters from biblical passages and bleed mascara into the holy water supplies. There is a war going on for your mind. Industry insiders slang test tube babies to corporate crackheads. They flash logos and blast ghettos. Their embroidered neckties say, stop snitching. Conscious rappers and whistleblowers get stitches made of acupuncture needles and marionette strings. There is a war going on for your mind. Professional wrestlers and vice presidents want you to believe them. The desert sky is their blue screen. They superimpose explosions. They shout at you. Pay no attention to the men behind the barred curtain, nor the craters beneath the draped flags. Those hoods are there for your protection, and the medias these days are the size of corpses. There is a war going on for your mind.
Are you mad as hell about the direction America is headed? Ready to lead our constitutional republic back to the simpler, more traditional times of our founding fathers? Together, let's restore America to the proud nation we were at the drafting of our magnificent Constitution. There, isn't it wonderful to be part of a wholesome tradition where your wife can remain by your side, right up to the point where you enter the polling booth? If she's no longer available, just get a good old-fashioned, safe, unregulated ride home with your very own slave. Just like our founding fathers, who thought of everything in this perfect document. Because if you don't have a slave or property, you won't be voting. So no need to worry about that ride. Traditional America is about more than just tri-cornered hats and country gentlemen. There's a pride of ownership. America's founding principles are strong, with a flourishing private sector. So you can buy the best teeth of wood or have professional leech treatments for your consumptive demons. It's high time America had an unwavering, originalist respect for our roots. If it was good enough for us then, it's better for us now.
If there is a constant refrain I hear from critics all the time, it goes something like this. America might not be the perfect system, but it is still the best system in the world.
If you don't like it.
They usually spew it at me in this drunken practice rhetorical style that is hard to argue with.
Yeah, if you don't like it, then just go to France and sit there and sip espresso with Johnny Depp and go on strike, you anti-American pinko commie faggot.
To which my standard reply usually goes something like this. Dear Toby Keith, I've asked you, I've asked Brooks, I've asked Dunn to stop emailing me, but while I have your attention, listen closely. You could take your God guns in glory, wrap them around a yellow ribbon, tie them to some aerial explosive fireworks, and shove it up your colon hole, and light yourself into smithereens in a red, white, and blue extravaganza overlooking the Statue of Liberty's horizon point on the 4th of July, because that's a ticket I would pay for! How can you so mindlessly defend that the United States of America is the best system in the world? Really? The bestest is a system that asks us to pretend, to hold up the lie that our soldiers die in foreign countries protecting our freedom, when any honest assessment of the soldiers dying in Iraq and Afghanistan would say that they did not die protecting our freedom, they died protecting the pocketbooks of war profiteers. Is that the best system? The fuel expended in the Iraq war alone totaled more than 60% of the countries in the world. Is this system, and that doesn't even count the Americans at home tooling around in their SUVs going wherever the hell they went, burning up gas because that's the way we live our lives. We're big, we're strong, we're SUV, we're Ford fucking tough. Is this system, the system that is destroying the planet, the best system in the world? Is a system where the government will award corporate welfare to the tune of, say, in the case of Verizon, one of the most profitable companies in the United States, $1.3 billion tax refund so that their CEO, Ivan Seidenberg, can make, get this, $55,000 a day. $55,000 a day. And that Verizon can then turn around and try to bust the union, which is what they're doing right now, trying to take back everything that the union has fought for the last 50 years. Is that the best system in the world? And this is still the only industrialized country in the world where someone can die for lack of access to health care. Is that the best system in the world? What makes all this possible? What makes our system tick? Profit. The bottom line. Because someone didn't know that Gordon Gekko and Oliver Stone, yes, Oliver Stone directed Wall Street, that Gordon Gekko was a satire, and that greed, motherfucker, is not good. So, my red, white, and blue friends, I'd ask you to consider this. Not only is the U.S. system not the best system of the world, but the continuation of the U.S. system, as is a direct threat to the long-term survival of the human species. So thank you very much for the plane ticket to France, but I will not love it or leave it. I will stay here. I will stare down the homicidal bull in a geopolitical China shop that is the United States of America, and I will demand that it change. You can join me starting on October 6th and thousands of others who have already taken the pledge. You can help us, or, pardon my French, you can get the fuck out of the way.
For the numbers on the screen, where bankers pace around the floor trying to process everything. Money comes and the money goes, it's such a twisted game. It's all around the world, there's people starving. They call it the market, it used to be for slaves. Planters could purchase laborers back in the cotton days. Now it's imaginary money that moves from place to place. Everybody's thirsty for the taste. There's profits derived from weapons burning bodies overseas. Profits derived from prisons destroying families. Profits derived from child labor in the South Pacific. Profits derived from keeping people sick.
For those of you guys who do not know, the police came to occupy Oakland at 4:30 in the morning. The police tear gassed the front of Occupy Oakland, the 14th and Broadway side. They flashbanged the media tent and stopped the live stream. At that point, the police moved in and started rubber bulleting people, shooting rubber bullets indiscriminately. The mayor called in from D.C. and told the media that she applauded the police for peaceful dispersion. We know this is total bullshit. So we have 96 comrades in jail, and a lot of them were reporting having seen people getting beaten unconscious in the plaza last night.
They can take our tents.
They can take our tents.
They can take our food.
They can take our food.
They can take our books.
They can take our books.
But they cannot take Oakland spirit.
They cannot take Oakland spirit.
The Occupy Wall Street protest started something that is spreading across this country like a wave at a football stadium or a rash at a nudist colony. This movement started small and weird, but has gotten strong and angry like Carrot Top did. Slowly, people are realizing that it's okay to stand up, to raise their hand in solidarity. People are realizing that cops can't arrest everyone, they can't mace everyone, they can't take their daddy issues out on everyone. People are realizing it's okay to say that you too want corporations to pay their fair share and stop devouring this country's resources, sucking it dry, leeching its life force. This is the economic version of a competitive eating competition. Tremendously rotund CEOs shoving hot dogs into their engorged, lying faces, hoping they won't vomit everywhere before the clock runs out, trying to get one more hot dog, just one more bite into their fucking mouths. And until now, no one has been stopping it. We've just been standing here and watching this morbid obesity with morbid curiosity, just going, are they really gonna eat all that? They can't possibly still be hungry. Why are they still eating at this point? It's like nothing I've ever seen. This is not a right and left issue. This is a right and wrong issue. Whoever's not willing to push for regulation and taxation of Wall Street is the enemy. Whether left or right, black or white, male or female, dumb or old, whether politically aware or someone who paid money to see Transformers 3 or 2 or 1 or really anything by Michael Bay. Anything. A lot has been made about the fact that a large percentage of the Occupy Wall Street protesters are young people and therefore aren't representative of America. Well, who the fuck do you think has the most to lose once this country starts to look like the day after tomorrow meets the day after? Who do you think is dying overseas for a war that is now only about making Afghanistan safe for KBR shareholder profits? Who do you think has the most years left to breathe the polluted air, drink the tainted water, eat the mutated fish, and watch the fetid reality shit on TV that is clearly creating a nation of malignant imaginations? Who do you think? We're the ones who have to sit in this rancid bathwater, twiddling our thumbs and flicking our ding-dongs for the next 70 years, going, remember back when we could have stopped this? Man, we should have, like, done something. So it started as young people, yes, but now all brands of people are coming along, all ages, races, and creeds. Well, not those who like Creed, you're not welcome, but everyone else. So go to OccupyTogether.org and learn about the protests going on all over this country. There's one near you, you have no excuse. The powerful are not going to cede their money, their control, their debt enslavement reins, their gold-plated toilet bowls without a fight. And we're only in round one. But that's okay. I understand if you have better things to do than decide the future of this country. There's got to be a Michael Bay movie on somewhere.
All you do is invest a bit and hope it takes you far. Don't worry about how lucrative these companies really are. Just invest your money in the companies and the profits coming too. It's good for the companies, good for you. Suck that profit up before it was too late. Invisible hands control the country's fate. People used to invest in the slave trade. They got huge plots of land with all the money that they made. Now they invest in the corporate race and the outcome's much the same. They get rich and easily avoid the blame. Go home for the day, while investors around the world have people read.
speak at all? Is there a press officer on site that we could talk to? Is there a press officer on site that we could talk to? Or are you guys just taught to just stare blankly ahead really scarily? Alright, so I guess people can't even find out what's going on. Nice community service, guys. I really feel safer in my community with you guys here. Tear gassing people and brutalizing the neighborhood.
We're on the same side. You're supposed to be on our side, guys. Why can't you guys see that and get together and be on our side? And if you're going to stand on the other side, then hear me now.
This is a reaction, I think, to the collapse of globalization, which is ricocheting around the globe. Rising commodity prices, the reconfiguration of the global economy into a form of neo-feudalism, where there are essentially masters, a thin managerial class, and serfs. When you look at the conditions of workers, whether it's in China, and Ching-Kwan Lee has done quite a fine study on this out of Berkeley, you know, many of these people, you can't even consider them as integrated into the wage system because at the end of the month they don't even get salaries, which is why they'll climb to the tops of these buildings and jump off, live in horrific conditions. This is just replicated throughout the world, whether it's in the Philippines, whether it's in Vietnam, and it's this kind of race to the bottom. Which is American workers are being told that they somehow have to be competitive on a global marketplace. Well, what it means is they have to be competitive with prison labor in China. And that reconfiguration into an oligarchic is very far advanced. So I think these people are very, very easy if we don't confront the corporate state. I think it's a kind of return to sanity. I think it's a confrontation with dead ideas. I think it is a demand for justice.
You got a penthouse in the city and another home in the hills. You got a corner office on the 51st floor and you walk on a carpet made of $100 bills. Well, I look at you up there in your plush office chair and I wonder what is going through your brain. You look outside your window, watch the people moving by below. You must be thinking about your capital gains. Now you look me in the eye and tell me exactly what it is you do. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that you make your money from the goofy work that other people do. With us living away in fields and factories, you're sipping your coffee on Madison Avenue. Should I call you evil? Should I call you cruel? Did you just come from the right family and go to all the right schools? Tell me, what do you think of your life? Does it feed your soul? That they'll get their share. You say that you worked hard to get there, but I'm asking if you see from that tinted window in the air how many people must be poor so you can be a billionaire. You say this is the way it has to be competitive in the economy. Poverty is a market incentive to keep people from being lazy. And I say to you, if you believe that shit they taught you in school, you must be crazy. Sometimes it makes me angry. Sometimes I'd like to cry. How many people been working all their lives for nothing? They'll be working.
We'll believe corporations are people when Texas executes one.